Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Galatians, Dr. Bloom was giving a breakdown of his outline to build a groundwork for the study. Let's continue there today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Roman numeral 4 is light of grace, verses 18 through 24. So that's our outline, if you outline and follow along that way. Now, Paul had visited the area of Galatia and established local churches. And in the interval, after his initial visit, missionaries from Jerusalem had arrived, informing them that keeping the law was necessary in order for them to get saved or to remain saved. And they became known as Judaizers. Usually, they taught that the covenant, the old covenant law, must be kept along with faith in order to be justified in Christ. In addition, they taught that a Christian must continue to keep the law, that is, not to break any law, lest he lose his salvation. Now understand, the law of God is neither evil, nor is it leaven. Rather, the law of God is just and holy, and it's good. And Jesus told us that. And so it's not that the law was wrong, but the application sure was. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to Judaize the church. Now, isn't it interesting? Paul goes there, leads souls to Christ, begins to train them. Then he goes on to plant the next church. And then these guys, as soon as he's gone, tries to move in. Now, we see that today in churches across this country where you have people that are Calvinistic in nature. And what they will do is they'll go into churches and feign that they are one of them. And then they will use very sordid ways, you might say sneaky ways, to work their way in and be able to spread their false doctrine. And so because of their unethical way, they get in. And many times, many of these are likable people. They get their doctrine entrenched, and it becomes a thing of division, and the church is divided. And so you find that because they do things that are unethical, they don't identify themselves, they come in, has Satan as an angel of light, they try to sow their doctrine. I can remember a pastor writing me, and I think we covered this on one of our question answers some time ago, that a young pastor come in and he'd been taught that you don't reveal to Baptists that you're Calvinist. And so what you do is when they ask you if you are, you say, oh, I am very missionary-minded. I want our church to be the most mission-minded church in the state. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? And it would make you think that that person is someone who is very mission-minded and is not a Calvinist. Well, what they're doing is lying. And there's two things that you can always tell. Number one is that they're not straight. They're not straight with you at all. And number two, that when they're preaching, their authority seems to be more. These different authors, they tell you, well, so-and-so says this, and so-and-so in his book says that. And they preach more about what so-and-so says than what the Bible said. Well, they work their ways in privily. They come in undercover. They're the ones that have snuck in unawares, and then they begin to sow their falseness And that's what it is. When you hear them quoting books, write down the author that they're quoting and go check and see what his doctrinal position is. Many times you'll find they're Calvinist. And you can even Google that. You know, they say, for an example, let me just use one, name John Piper or John MacArthur. And you just Google, is John Piper Calvinist? Is John MacArthur Calvinist? And it will tell you if they are or not. Okay. So again, it's good to identify them to let them know what they are. I'm a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. I want people to know that. I want people to know that I stick to the Word of God, that Christ is the head of our church. He is also the creator of this world. I want to be identified with Christ. I believe in whosoever will may come. I want people to know that. And when people try to hide their doctrine, they're unethical and they're sinister. And it's because what they think is truth will not stand. And see, that's one thing I know. I can use the Word of God and know that His truth stands. And so just stick with the truth. And I believe that's the best way to go. Now, also by way of introduction, I want to say something about grace. The book of Galatians will expand on the doctrine of grace. So as we go along, it'll be important that we begin to gain an understanding of the word grace. In its barest definition, it has the idea of unmerited favor. If there is only a slight mixture of law or works added, as, for example, the Judaizers were trying desperately to include circumcision, or maybe keeping various or particular parts of the commandments, then grace is no more grace. You see, God's grace is via faith, not merit. Grace cannot begin until the law has reduced us to speechless guilt. In Romans 3, verse 19 and 20, we read this. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world, and that's no exclusions, all the world may become guilty before God. Now listen to this next. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So I may do my best to try to keep the Ten Commandments and be circumcised and other commandments that are in the Old Testament law, thinking, well, I'm trusting Christ, but if I break these commandments, then I lose my salvation. Then it's me keeping my salvation. But what do we find out in the book of John, chapter 10? We find out in verses 27 through 29, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, what great verses there, 27 through 30, but they also let us know that our salvation is kept by Christ. Now, so long as there is doubt about our utter guilt, our utter helplessness, and our utter insufficiency, there is no place for grace. I believe that I'm indeed a sinner that only can be saved by grace. But if I believe that I'm indeed not quite good enough as I ought to be, yet I believe that I'm too good for hell in my present state, then I'm not an object for the grace of God. Rather, I'm merely an object for the law until it illuminates me and convicts me of my actual hell-deserving soul. Now, with the exception of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the law never found a naturally good man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham, Romans 4, as well as David, were justified by faith. Grace does not look for good men to approve, for then it's not grace, but mere justice. It is not grace if we are just looking for a license to live this life the way we want to live it, and live it in accordance to what makes us feel good or what appeals to our flesh. You see, I am a condemned, guilty, helpless man that can only be rescued by the saving, sanctifying, glorifying power of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 says that everyone, and that's every one of you, he said that very plainly, that every one of you should know, not might think about, no, you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, that is a set apartness unto God, and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto cleanness and unto holiness. So grace calls us to cleanness. It's pretty astonishing what is viewed as normal and acceptable today as part of the alleged openness of our society. Just recently, our current sitting president became the first sitting American president to address the annual meeting in Washington, D.C. of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, or another way of saying it, the world's largest or the nation's largest provider to kill human babies inside their mothers. And if you don't like that language, then okay, to kill fetuses inside a homo sapien. You know, you can't call it a mother and not call it a baby, and you can't call it a fetus and make sure you call the mother a homo sapien. Now, after he said all those remarks to his audience at the Planned Parenthood meeting, he said, God bless you. Can you imagine me saying, God bless us as we take LSD, as we take acid, as we take method? Lord, bless the meth. God bless me as I shoot and kill 15 people right now and blowing their heads off. You'd say, that's blasphemy. I know, and it's just as blasphemous to say, God bless baby killers. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.